Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wait What If podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Sullivan. Thank you very much for checking out my program. I work hard on it. This week's episode is very different. We've done a lot of different episodes, I guess, lately, just to try out new things. And we had so much fun at Mike and Malia's bar, Revival 1869, that we decided to head back there and have kind of like a mini Christmas party episode type of dealy. And Mike and Malia had their bartenders come, Dave, Nicole, Carlos, and they mixed up some drinks for us, kind of talked about the history of them. It was fun. My equipment was malfunctioning left and right. I could not get a steady audio on anything. So I had to do some magic, and I don't know, I think it turned out all right. Make sure you're checking out the website, waitwhatif.com. That's where we're going to be doing all our updates. For the next year, I'm going to be doing a lot of different things, a lot of different projects, a lot of video. Of course, you know about my Better Off Med project. It's so hard to work on two things at once because I'll have all this media and I can't remember which one is for which, and things get confused and I'm using all the same equipment. So I'm just going to compile everything over to waitwhatif.com. So it'll be waitwhatif.com, and there'll be a tab for Better Off Med, and that's where I'm going to keep all that stuff there. I'm still working on videos for that. I mean, it's going to be fun. Trying to think of other things. Check out the Primal Marketplace. I'm probably going to change the name, but on this show, we talk a lot about different products, weightlifting equipment, kettlebells, battle maces or steel maces, whatever you call them, supplements, nootropics, books, you know, Mark Sisson, Rob Wolf, Jason Fung, Gary Tobbs. We talk a lot about just different things out there. And I figured I'd put a page on my website where I link where you can buy all this stuff. So visit waitwhatif.com. You'll see some special offers from my sponsors. You'll see some updates, videos, all that stuff that's going on there. Next couple weeks, we have some really cool guests coming on. One of them is Jason Sieb. Check him out at altshiftdiet.com. Really, really interesting guy. We see eye to eye on a lot of aspects of weight loss, being healthy, moving, exercise, breaking the mold of the typical, you know, eat less, move more mentality. So he's going to be a really, really good show, and I hope I don't talk his ear off, because for someone who sees eye to eye with me on that, I'm just really, really, really excited to sit down and chat with him. So that's coming up. I got another guy coming on who's going to kind of explain conspiracy theories and why people do that, because, as you know, I don't remember what episode it was, maybe in the 70s, early 70s or late 60s, I had a guy on who was basically screaming at me that the moon landings were fake. Check it out, it's a great show. But he's going to come on and kind of tell us, you know, why that is. And then we have John Mathis coming back on, and he's going to talk to us about AI and healthcare. Specifically, he's working with Watson under the, well, I'm going to mess it up what he is, but Watson is the artificial intelligence connected through IBM, and he's going to come on and talk a lot about that. So that's going to be a really, really cool show. So the next few weeks are going to be hectic. I'd like to get these shows out, you know, bear with me. Once the new year kicks around, things will get back to normal. Thanks again for checking out the show.
You're listening to the Wait What If podcast.
Start. Hey, everybody. My name is Kevin Sullivan. I'm with the Wait What If podcast. If you had checked us out last time, you'll kind of know what all this is about. We are at Revival 1869 here in Clayton, North Carolina. We got a bunch of bartenders, a bunch of drinkers. We got Mike. We got Johnny Appleseed. We got Malia, and then, actually, I don't remember the bartenders' names, but we have...
Nicole.
Carlos,
that's right. And
Dave.
I almost got that right. All right, so this is basically a drinking show. So they're going to be making some fancy drinks for us, stuff that I suppose we could make this at home. I'm not exactly sure, but he's going to let us know all the ingredients and kind of the history of the drinks and stuff like that. So before we get started, I guess you're going to be up first, Dave. David or Dave?
Dave.
You're going to be first, Dave. So Mike has a lot of pride in, obviously, his bar and his bartenders, because he wants somebody that knows how to do more than just mix a drink, someone that's actually good at craft. So where did you learn the craft of craft cocktail making?
That really came about here. When we began in March, Mike and Malia put us through a rigorous program with our first beverage manager, whatever we call him at this point, Zach. And he put us through a full month of hands-on approach to cocktail bartending. We've all done the volume style bartending for a while, but actually getting into the classics, you know, your old fashions, your Manhattans, everything that was turn of the century, speakeasy style of drinks. And so we're all kind of now unattached for everyone just moving to the next thing. So now we're this is our second menu that we're getting on to, which is we're kind of moving through in between creating the Christmas drinks tonight.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you guys, this is like
we're all like getting
this is trial and error time, or are you guys making a menu?
A little bit of it.
All right. Cool. It is kind of I guess everywhere you look, it's like a renaissance in craft. You know, if you're gonna go to a bar, you don't want to drink some pre-mixed Tom Collins, you know, whatever mixed with it's truly a renaissance. A lot of things like that. I think we saw it with the beginning of the craft beer movement, I guess, after the 80s was there a law or something, Mike? You might know. Was there a law that was lifted that people could start brewing in their house, or did it just become like?
I don't remember when that happened, but
okay,
some federal requirement. It ended up getting lifted at some point. I can't remember.
Okay. Now, with the resurgence of craft cocktails, do you think that people will start being able to brew their own booze again in their house? Can you legally?
No, you can't.
Distilling.
No, there's an organization called the Hobby Distillers Association. They're based out of Texas that's pushing for the legalization of home distilling.
Okay.
Right now you can't do it. In fact, as far as I know, there's really only one country that allows for that, and it's New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Places. Yeah, so they're grabbing a lot of their data through the few years that New Zealand's been doing it, and then they're trying to lobby Congress in order to change those laws. Because you can brew your own beers, you can make your own wine, but you can't distill your own spirits.
Okay.
And I think that's going to change. I think it's a matter of time, but it will change at some point.
Okay.
I think especially with the craft distiller movement that's happening, you're seeing distilleries pop up all over the place. It's only a matter of time before you're able to start doing this situation.
Yep.
All right, so what's our first drink we got on order for tonight?
Whatever I can get with.
I'm in your way, just push
it. No, not really close to me is first. I think we can go to eggnog first. I think I'll be
everybody
cool.
Loves eggnog. It's like melted ice cream.
It's amazing. I got the sample it a little earlier, and it's probably the greatest thing I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
So yeah. Tell me the ingredients. Well, you got a raw egg, so I think I know where this is going.
I have a raw egg. It's going to go in there. So we're going to do a Jack Rye split with cognac, a little bit of cinnamon syrup, a full egg, and then an ingredient in the back that I need to go grab is going to be a vanilla bean ice cream. So as opposed to sitting and like actually going through the process of putting your eggnog together, I'm lazy and I don't feel like doing that, so I'm not going to. So I'm going to do it the easiest way I possibly can, just to make a quick flash drink. Based off of a couple different recipes that I've used before. So I use an ounce of the Jack Daniel's rye, an ounce of our Saligny cognac, 3/4 of an ounce of our house-made cinnamon syrup. I'm going to grate just a little bit of nutmeg to go in there right now. We'll grab the ice cream right there. Okay.
So he said he's going to put ice cream in here?
There it is.
There we go.
Oh man.
There it is. Ice cream.
That's friendly. They're not a sponsor of the show. They will not show that.
Apparently they're the
you
only.
You will not get our plug, friendlies.
Apparently they're the only ones who are doing a vanilla bean right now.
Yeah, isn't there some like thing about vanilla bean? There's really not any true vanilla bean.
We were talking about that today, actually.
I'm not privy to that full information. Can't talk on it. I just know I couldn't find it, and I was very disappointed. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to flash it right now and do a dry shake. so that you can hear it a little bit more liquidy than it was before. And then even though it is ice cream, we do have a raw egg in there, so I'm going to emulsify it with an ice shake. Citrus in here whatsoever. Pour right in. And that should look very familiar.
Yeah, it does. So if you didn't have ice cream, what would you use? Like, what is nog?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
It's just whatever you got your recipe.
Egg, heavy cream, and milk.
Egg, heavy cream, and milk?
A lot of the time, because eggnog, around the time that harvest was over, there was a lot of produce and everything left over, and not a lot of stuff to do at the end of harvest. So a good way was to mix booze with the leftover produce that you had, usually dairy. So eggs, milk, heavy cream, things like that, that you had sold everything you needed and you had a lot left over.
Does the alcohol kill any salmonella that would be in the eggs?
It's funny because eggs today are pasteurized, so even though we put up these signs that say a lot of our cocktails are made with raw egg, you're actually, the risk of getting salmonella is about this big because of all the eggs are pasteurized. But okay, we put it up anyway for all the scaredy cats.
What do you guys think of the drink?
I think it's phenomenal, but being not a strong drinker, it's a very potent drink.
Okay.
But yeah, love the ice cream effect with the alcohol. It tastes great.
How much alcohol is that in ounces?
2 ounces.
2 ounces. All right, cool. What about yourself?
She's like, this doesn't taste like anything.
No, it's delicious. I would say this is one of the best drinks I've ever had, alcoholic or non-alcoholic. It's just, it's fantastic. That nutmeg is delicious.
Fresh ground nutmeg on the top. Have you guys ever been? Yeah, you've been here, Revival.
Mm-hmm. I have.
Do you want to talk it up real quick just to let folks know here? You swing around to Mike. The philosophy of bringing this bar.
The idea of the... Well, the idea was to create a really fantastic experience. That was number one. And then we thought we could do it with really great cocktails and a fantastic whiskey selection. The second thing is we wanted to create an environment that was conducive to people being people again.
Right.
It was supposed to be a big social endeavor. So we get rid of the television, bring in really great music. We feature jazz on Thursdays and Saturdays with live music, which is something that not a lot of folks are doing around here. And as the camera gets around, you can probably see it, but put in furniture that makes it very comfortable. And welcoming and warm and interesting and maybe a bit eclectic. That way it incites conversation, you know.
Right.
And that's kind of the idea behind it, was the name really encompasses what we're trying to do. It's a revival of service, hospitality, cocktails, creating a fantastic whiskey program, reviving jazz, you know, a lot of places do jazz. It's not like it fell off the planet, but around here, and just getting people back into more of the classic way of doing things and people becoming people. So that was really the idea behind Revival. The 1869 is the year that Clayton became Clayton and received this charter from state legislature. So that was our way of saying, hey, we want to be a cornerstone. We want to be an asset to the community. We're not just here to make money, but we want to support it as well. So that's why we adopted the number 1869. And then we do that by supporting things like the local Rotary Club, different organizations like the JOCO Music Arts Foundation, local Donate Life NC, which we just did a really fantastic event for, and that sort of stuff. Does that answer your question? Malia, maybe she has something else.
I think you said it all. I think that was pretty good.
Do you think that, given where we are in North Carolina, I just feel like up in Boston and up in that area, we're really heavy into beers. I don't know if something like this, I mean, a cocktail bar might do well, where people are, I don't know, sipping things in the financial district or something like that. I feel like this area of North Carolina is really, and I don't know if it's its roots in running moonshine or what it is. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, this is kind of a booze versus beer location. But I could be wrong. I mean, I don't drink beer, so.
This was, 15, 20 years ago, this was a dry county.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know that.
So it's relatively new that that we have alcohol in the county. I mean, I've only lived here for maybe 2.5 years. We moved to Clayton specifically to get this thing going. Then when me and Malia, we started working on the bar, we realized that Clayton was the right place to do it. It had to do with the growth that we're experiencing. So, I mean, we got a lot of locals, they may not understand it, but there's a bit of an educational process to it. Some of the transplants, especially the folks from up north, they already understand it because this sort of thing is happening up there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of bars in Raleigh, downtown Raleigh, that are doing the exact same thing. So it's not as if we're doing anything like out of control that's different.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of places that are doing it really, really well. We chose to do it in a small town because we believed in the potential that the town has in growing. And we thought if we could get in here and be part of that, then we can help shape this really cool movement that these downtowns are starting to have. So, I mean, that was a lot of it.
I'm sitting here trying to listen seriously, and I realize I'm the only asshole wearing a really ugly Christmas sweater. So thank you, everyone, for listening to
me. Of course,
it's
a Christmas t-shirt.
It is. It's a party, you know?
Yeah.
It's a Christmas party.
And you got your t-shirt tucked in your jeans.
I do, because it comes down to here. It looks like, I look like Alvin and the Chipmunks, so I had to tuck it. Only time you hear me say that. All right, let's do our next drink. So we did eggnog. It was fantastic. Thumbs up all around. I biohack. I try to figure out what I can do with my body, and I'm currently in the midst of keto, which sucks because I can't drink any of this stuff because it would knock me right out of it. But so that's the only reason why I'm not drinking it. I would love to drink it. It looks fantastic. TMI. I'm just kind of, it's called filler information. All right, Dave, what do you got working?
All right. That's never before, but that's ready to go. That's good. All right. The next one we're going to do is my Christmas mule. So what we're going to do is we're going to use Broad Slabs Appleshawn. And I'm going to use an ounce and a half of that.
Mm-hmm. That was on Broadside. That's right.
Yeah,
Mike interviewed the guy for one of his podcasts.
Yeah, we were just there today.
Yep.
Oh, great. Cool. Yeah, he's fantastic. Jeremy Norris and Broadside. It's a local product, so we're happy to use it.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do an ounce and a half of the apple shine. You have 2 ounces of cranberry juice. I'm going to do 1/2 ounce of lime juice. 3/4 ounce of cinnamon syrup. Head back again to that. Pretty much a Christmas staple. We use another 3/4 ounce of our house-made ginger syrup, which is really cool because it gives a sting to it. When we make ours, we put an X number of chili peppers in there. So it does have a little bit of a zing to it. And we are going to shake it.
Pretty quick drink.
Pop it out, throw it in a traditional mule cup, a little copper tin.
It sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Then, top it off with soda water.
With what?
Soda water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we like using old school guns. And if I had some fresh cranberry or an extra cinnamon stick just to make it look pretty, I'd throw that on there. I don't exactly adopt the, you know, you drink through your eyes nonsense because it's supposed to taste like something. I don't give a damn how it looks.
Okay.
So if I had something fresh, I'd throw that on there, but that's ready to go.
So I've seen a lot of mules lately. Sorry.
Ben Benson?
Yeah, right? I guess I never heard of this. Well, mules. You guys didn't. Never mind. It was a name for someone else. But I used to work in urology. So I had just recently heard of them, maybe in the last 2 years. Actually, I think it was at Malia's house. She was making them one night. And what's the story of them? What's with the copper? Why are they all of a sudden a big popular thing nowadays?
It's all a marketing ploy.
Is that all it is?
Mostly, because most places don't have a traditional, like, completely copper cup.
Okay.
It does give off a unique taste when the copper chills and how it interacts with the vodka in the traditional Moscow Mule. And it does change it a little bit, but it's so negligent that it's just worthless. And everyone says Moscow Mule, and you see a cup, and then there's 40 of them you're making the rest of the night.
Yeah,
that was like the story
sense.
Of our first 2 months. I was like, oh, there goes first one in. Here we go. Like, all right, we're going to make a whole shit ton the rest of the night.
Do you guys make...
The charcuterie board of cocktails.
this.
Do you guys make whatever? Like, if I came here and I was like, I want a, I don't know, I can't even think of something random. Will you guys make it, or are you strictly on the menu?
No, they'll make it. These guys can do pretty much anything.
We can get close. If you come in here and you ask me for liquid marijuana, I'm going to laugh at you and explain to you the 12 different reasons why I can't do that and why there are other bars that you can go and grab that at. But if you...
I never even heard of that. Is that a...
it's
drink.
Dangerous. It's just booze on booze on booze on
kinda
booze.
Kind of like a Long Island IC.
pretty much, but... Green and based on rum. It's a add-in takeaway from a Ninja Turtle, which is an add-in takeaway from this and this, with a lot of pineapple juice and lots of rum.
Okay. And yep. This isn't really people. You don't want people coming here just to slam back drinks again.
No, that is absolutely not what we want to do. So, you know, if you look at the size cups that we're using, you know, it's your traditional barware. What we're pouring this into right now are short Collins glasses. We use old fashioned glasses or highballs between the Libby Coupe, which is a small little dainty cup that it comes in. I mean, they are capped for ounceage per drink, and the point of each drink that we make is to be a balanced representation of the ingredients that is supposed to be in there.
Okay.
So whereas, like, if you want straight booze, there's a wall here. Mm-hmm. Let's get you down for that. Like, let's do it. That'll be great. And let's have a conversation about it. But as to, like, hey, I'm just going to slam Jack for the rest of the night. You know what? If you're in here every week and you're a nice guy and you don't show your ass, absolutely. I have no problem, you know, like, laying down a Jack and Coke for, you know, the people who love just the atmosphere of this place. But it's very much, you know, the speakeasy style bar and, you know, like your college bars, your volume bars, your downtown, you know, after work bars, they're not all the same and we're not trying to do that. And so it's just, it's growing pains. But you know, people do see the environment that we've created and they really try to, a lot of them try to adapt and try to make it a part of what they do within their weekly agenda.
Okay.
So when getting back to the drinks, you know, it's like when somebody asks me for something where I'm like, we don't have 90% of the ingredients for that. How about, because of that flavor profile, like, let's move into this side of the world. Like, do you also like this? Let's create a conversation. One of the best interview questions I've read and gone through the statement of it is, like, you wouldn't get in a taxi and say, not the airport.
Right.
Anywhere but the airport. It's like, well, okay, well, what do you want me to do, you know? So it's like, hey, let's start with the spirit. Let's go there. Do you like herbal? Do you like fruity? Do you like any of these spices? Like, where can we begin there? And usually it's based off of, we'll create the drink based off of a spec of a drink that we already know, and we will try to push it in that general direction just because it becomes a little bit easier for us with flavor profiling and blending. Mm-hmm. So that, in a, all, you know, round form, that's what we try to do here with everything that we do.
I think the bars that would call ourselves craft cocktail bars are generally not the Tanqueray and Tonic places. I mean, you know, we have people come in and say, you know, can I get a Dewar's and soda or a 7 and 7? And there's nothing wrong with those. Those are very popular and traditional cocktails, but we're just kind of like, you can go a lot of places and get those, and not there's anything wrong with those, but there aren't a lot of places you can go and get, like he said, not the airport.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think all the other places that consider themselves craft cocktail bars as we do, we're all trying to do something that's just a little bit, if here's the normal, comfortable line of cocktail bartending, we kind of try to, like, stick a toe over that line and get people to trust us and say, oh, wow, I didn't even know that I could like that. And then we ask them, you know, let us just step a foot more past your comfort zone and then a little in a yard past, and then the next thing you know, like I always say, everyone's a gin drinker, they just don't know it yet. You know, everyone's a lot more adventurous with their palate than they know they are. They just haven't been given the right atmosphere and the right knowledgeable bartenders for them to put their trust in people that, I mean, you're paying good money for something that you also, you know, you're trusting someone that you say, I'm going to like it, and you don't even know me. but our bartenders try to get to know you and your palate, and then we've never had anyone be like, blasphemers, this is all lies, you spew, and get up and walk out.
Have you guys, did you guys try the Moscow Mule, the Moscow Christmas Mule? What do you think?
Very tasty.
What's the first thing you notice when you drink it?
The ginger, for sure. Okay. And you can, I think he said zippy or zingy with the peppers. You can absolutely taste that. And I'm not a big ginger fan. This is delicious. It's quite delicious.
Nice. Did you tap out?
No, I tried it. I feel like this is an experience.
Okay.
It's not just a drink.
No, this definitely
is,
isn't.
This, you can make an evening around this drink.
Sure. I mean, that's the whole point of it, right? I'm gonna isolate that clip and I'll tweet it out, and you can just be like, revival. I'll make a, what'd you say? I already forgot what you said. I'm gonna make an experience around this drink. Make a gif.
A little wink and a smile. And it's like, bling, with his teeth.
The longer you stay here, the more clever you get.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty brilliant.
Was there anything like this between, say, you know, after, I guess, when I picture a bar like this, I picture 1945, maybe 1952, you know, so you're out with your gal and you go somewhere and you drink, but nowadays, I mean, I don't picture in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, but did this just kind of slip off the radar and then people said, holy shit, look at all this stuff and look what we can do with it, let's bring it back? Or has it always kind of been around?
I think, Dave can answer that. But, Mike, we've talked a lot about how as soon as, like, TV dinner generation kind of came along, where you can take out all of the steps, which also add the value and the quality, and you can go to the grocery store and buy a sweet and sour mix, I think that's kind of where a lot of the craft was lost.
Okay.
I think.
If you look at, like, what did change in America from, you know, the 50s to the 80s, the 90s, even today, the need and the accessibility to the style of bar you're talking about, it didn't really go away. You know, they still existed. You know, you went through a really cool tiki Polynesian, Asian style of, you know, L.A., you know, when they pushed a huge tiki movement for a good while, which is still the exact same thing. It's just a different style of drink. It's not exactly the Manhattans. It's not exactly, running through Sazeracs. But, you know, like, what happened in Europe where this boomed in Japan, you know, all of those things, it's just, you know, completely turned the industry around globally. Especially like throughout the 60s when Absolut came back and they, you know, like, or came to power when vodka really pushed gin out of the way. You know, that was revolutionary for, how the movement changed. And so I think it's just taken a different face in a different area and moved around. I don't think it's gone anywhere. Regionally too, you know, what you mentioned about, like, why are we out in the middle of the country when, you know, this feels much more of a downtown vibe. Downtown's been around for a long time, and many, you know, in every state, every country, you know, many, many different cities, you know, so I don't think it's moved or it's fluctuated too much in there. I think the respect of bartenders via the availability of, your down home, your corner bar, your things of that nature, where you don't see this style of bartending done. I think because of the lack of accessibility to these bars, it might not have been as publicized throughout those years that you're talking about, but I don't think it's gone away at all. Most of the literature that I read is from those times and even earlier. And what's really cool is the being a bartender now, seeing the respect at the end of the night, in the middle of the night, the repeat, call them repeat offenders, the guys that come in all the time because they love watching, they love being a part of this, you know, that's really coming back around from when we used to be revered to as, you know, same level as five-star chefs.
Right, right.
You know, so it's really coming back to that. And there are great, great bartenders. I refuse to use the word mixologist. It's magazine verbiage. but there are great, 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 essentially chemists and bartenders that are all over the U.S. that have been doing this for years and years and years. So it's really cool, especially the accessibility of the internet and, you know, Instagram. You know, it's happening everywhere, and that didn't just happen overnight.
I have a question. So, like, when I drink, my favorite drink here is probably the whiskey sour.
Yeah.
When I drink the whiskey sour,
It's got a taste at the very beginning. Ice melts a little bit, so it waters down, but then it has a taste in the middle. And at the end, I still have some ice cubes left, and I'm sucking on the ice cubes because it still tastes delicious.
Yeah, whiskey sour, you get an old fashioned.
Oh, old fashioned. Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, right. I get down to the. You get down to the end.
I was going to say, I was like, which one are you?
So, you're sucking on the ice cubes, all right? But that's by design. Am I correct that it's going to taste good up down to the very end?
Absolutely. I mean, like, that's it for an hour. It's going to taste like shit.
Right.
Just watered bourbon. Yeah. Mix the bitters, we mix the sugar with the bourbon and whatever else we decide to do to it at that given point. And it sits there, you know, we give it about a 15 second stir or so, put it in there, put a couple rocks in there, so it does dilute. So you do get to taste the change in the drink as it evolves for an extended period of time. You know, like, it's not something that I would sit on for more than 15 minutes.
Okay.
Especially if you're using the right style of ice in there. If you've got, you know, you go to a bar or in your house where you're able to do a big cube or a big bowl or a ball of ice. Even here, we have a great ice program, and just how it changes the drink within that small amount of time. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah, that's something I wouldn't even think about, like the size of the ice cube, because Mike had some trouble. He was like, going through ice machines, figuring out which one, you thought I had the right one, wasn't sure, and that's pretty amazing. Because you would think just frozen water, as far as that goes. Yeah, let's talk about the mixes here, right? Because you guys don't go with, you know, what they sell in Harris Teeter, you make everything,
right? We make
right?
all our syrups in-house, with the exception of one from some friends out in California that make it, but we make everything in-house, all our syrups, yeah. Most of the rest of these would be aperitifs or digestives. They're just different liqueurs that we'll use that are just much easier to pour out of a smaller formatted bottle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a mix of stuff that the bartenders can use to create all kinds of really cool things.
Also notice you got whole fruit. You know, it's not like you got one of those plastic things where you just flip
up. No, those are very real.
That's what when I bartended, we had one of those, and sometimes the limes at the bottom had been there for 3 weeks.
No, we don't do that. Yeah, those things are terrible. They're gross looking. But no, we slice everything. We juice fresh every day. Fresh squeezed everything. Try to make it authentic as possible. That's really the idea.
I'm going to call this intermission.
Yeah, Christmas drinks are fun, man. I mean, you know what's fun about Christmas, and you mentioned with the drinking, is the fact that it's a different style of drinking. A lot of times with the eggnog, for instance.
Yeah,
you don't drink that you know, any other time of the year. Imagine? So Christmas comes around and people get excited to drink eggnog, you know.
Can you imagine just being an alcoholic and all you drink is eggnog?
That'd be gross. I couldn't do it. Yeah.
Is history, though, to the whole, like, imbibing drink.
All right, I would like to know the history of the imbibing drink at Christmas time.
So, pre what we call Christmas, when the Romans, who were not Christian at the time, when they would have the celebration around this time of year called Saturnalia.
Yep.
And they were honoring the god Saturn. Mm-hmm. And it was a week or a 2 week long celebration where basically anything went. So things that were traditionally and still are illegal, like, you know, murder, thieves,
like
raping people thing. Yeah, like you could do whatever you wanted, basically, with no repercussions. And so a big part of that was excessive drinking and debauchery and things like that. But at the same time, sort of on the other end of the spectrum, it was also a time where there was a lot of giving and kindness and... like the poor people in the towns and the communities would swap places with the aristocracy, and they would be nice to each other and good to each other at the same time when all these awful things were happening. So, but there was a lot of drinking during that time.
Right, when you look at the religious aspects of it, so was it Constantine that brought Christianity to Rome because everyone was pagans? Or was there a fixed religion in Rome? I think it was everyone had kind of their own gods, right?
Well, I mean, they didn't have one specific god like in Christianity. There were numerous gods that they worshipped and celebrated.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, there were a lot of our holidays had those same sorts of roots to them where they were pagan or some other religion in Christianity said, hey, we want these people to be with us, but we don't want to put the kibosh on, you know, having them follow us, and so we have to support them somehow. So we'll kind of give them these little bits and pieces of what they believe and what they celebrate, but we're going to kind of incorporate it with our beliefs. So that was one example of doing that.
Makes sense, I would think.
Best way to get them on board.
That's right.
Next drink.
Yes.
All right.
Oh.
So now we have...
Rockstar.
It's Nicole, right?
Yeah.
All right, so now we have Nicole. Nicole, where did you come from to this specific place? I'm going to kind of... Where should I go? This planet.
She fell out of the sky.
I'm going to stand over here. Yeah, I'm going to stand over here so you can at least talk to both the people watching.
From across the street.
So. Okay, so you're Clayton?
Wow.
You're from Clayton?
No, I'm from New Jersey.
Nobody's from... this area.
I don't know who
it's almost like Carrie now. Oh, you are? There we go. All right.
Yeah, and yes, and then my parents own that place, so it's like a big Italian.
We've heard a lot about Brick and Mortar, so we got to check this out. Next Halloween, we want to do a live show there because
it's
we heard
super
it's
super creepy.
I know. Are you the one that lived over there? And
yeah, for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking
haunted, man. Yeah, I used to try to sleep there.
Like, legitimately, things go crazy?
Oh, no, like, for sure. And I'm just glad somebody else saw it, because you'll hear tables being moved. But that's been like that for, like, 10 years. Like, even when we only had booths. So it didn't make any sense. And, yeah, tables are being moved, and it just sounds like there's, like, construction going on at, like, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's the
like, he even texted me and asked me about that.
Nothing was left but the shell of the building.
Yeah, that makes sense. They played it off like it was just like a tiny fire in a corner. Was it actually big?
Yeah, I heard that the whole place got burned down.
What? That makes sense.
How long ago? Just
like, I don't know. I don't
the
know.
The 1800s. Like, it, no, did you see the movie It? Where, well, the book, but where the place burned down.
Like, I just took a nap over there. I probably wouldn't have.
It was the 1900s, but it burned completely through and through, and all that was left was the shell of the building.
This is our show
people
next year. It's going to be good. It's going to be
people
good.
People saw me freaking out, so they stopped.
All right, so your background in mixology, I'm kidding, and in bartending. Tell me where you started and how you got hooked up over here. And
I started, again, just from doing weddings over there.
Okay.
I learned from one of my friends from Long Island who's, you know, he bartended since the 80s, so it was very much so Sex on the Beaches and Long Islands. And
yeah.
So I learned like that, and that's solid, and that's totally, it is what it is. And mm-hmm. people, you know, I enjoy them occasionally. Yeah, exactly. So nothing against it at all. But I've always been interested in this and making my own thing. So even over there, I would try to find out about the bride and groom just to figure out a way to make things special for them. And like, so I would try to make my own syrups, and I would try to, and that's what I'm really into is making... Just making anything that's like not from a bottle is okay. fun. Or foraging my own things just to make for them. I would like doing that stuff. So it's, yeah, I enjoy the specialty in it.
All right. And so tell me what you're making now. We got some Jack. Is that Jack Daniels? We're going to
Ezra Brooks.
I was going to say, oh my goodness, I wouldn't think to be. Ezra Brooks is what?
That is a bourbon, whiskey bourbon.
Okay. Yeah, I've never had that, believe it or not.
I mean,
and it's
solid.
In the well, so.
If you were drinking one of our whiskey sours, you would have had it.
Oh, okay.
But if you were drinking an old fashioned, then you would have had Four Roses.
I typically just drink
it. I don't know what you were drinking either.
I typically
just do it.
There's no ice in a whiskey sour, so.
A lot of places you go, you're drinking out of the well. You know, you're drinking Aristocrat or, I don't know, just.
Popoff.
Oh God! I was going to say, I actually haven't been in one of those bars in a long time, but our well is already.
So what's this you're in?
A few steps.
Oh, so I made my cider. You can smell it. It's really good.
It smells really good. What is it?
It's just like a cider.
Oh, okay. So you make your own cider. So we got. I totally missed two ingredients there. What's that?
I'm such an old lady. I just make fun of myself sometimes.
So Nicole's responsible for. We boast it a lot. May took an incredible photo of it. It's actually on one of our postcards. She is responsible for probably our most unique original cocktail on our current originals menu that we change it seasonally. But Nicole is the best at probably going there, you know.
Just mixing tastes and stuff, coming up with your own stuff.
Things that you're just like, that, like, who would think to do that? That shouldn't happen. And so she's got one that's, you know, mezcal. She makes the fennel syrup in-house. It's topped with cava. It's, like, smoky, refreshing, a little sweet. It's a little bubbly. It's like,
I mean, everything. This looks like an apothecary. Yeah. Like old school. Take a thing of this, yeah, and we'll cure.
We made campfire into a soap because it's so good.
Chili tincture and coffee tincture.
Wait, what is campfire?
It's the most amazing smell in the world.
I'm going to have to smell that in a minute.
I made that specifically according for Nicole only
to me.
All right, we're going to go to this area in a minute, but I want to finish with, is this your own drink that you're making right here? Your own concoction? Okay.
I don't know how it's going to be.
All right. So you're like a chef.
But
okay.
The thing is, like, I can only make Pop-Tarts amazing. So like
when you're making a drink, what makes you think of which cup to use?
Which one it'll fit in.
Oh, really?
That, like, or, style, like, which one? Like,
it's true.
That's pretty much it. I like maybe. I feel like I should. I know. Okay, my nickname's Nikki Ninefingers.
She cuts herself all the time.
Nikki Ninefingers.
Nikki Ninefingers.
That is
true. It's more like Nikki Seven Fingers at this point.
She puts everything into her.
I'm really not. I'm just not safe. Clearly,
yeah, you got fire going on here.
Because I'm a pyro as well. So this is. I'll taste it first to make sure it's okay.
Just go for it.
Yeah, the 9 days of Christmas.
Do you want to need a funnel?
That's solid. Okay.
Do you want to? Yeah, what were the ingredients again? Let's recap. So this is Nikki's Christmas beverage.
It's something, man.
Okay.
It is Ezra Brooks, my cider, cherry herring, sherry, lemon.
Well, that's just.
I mean,
that's
like,
it's
functional. Did I add the one? I feel like I did. Hashtag and Ango.
All right.
Show that, Johnny, and what
up? All right. Let's
put it in there so we can share it a little bit.
Yep, we're good.
Yeah.
Thanks. It's the 9-9.
Oh, that would be a cool one.
Oh, nice.
Hey, we made it. Hey. It's too hard to pour
it's
that into
the
this,
eight
so now
nights
I can pour this
into
this. He's nursing.
All right, so this, nobody has tried this before. Let's see.
This is a brand. This is an original.
All right. Oh, he tapped out.
Wow. I'll be on the floor.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, Gladys.
I can't control what I'm saying.
I'm not lying. I would not lie to you.
What are your thoughts?
I would definitely not lie.
What's it taste like?
It tastes sort of cinnamony.
The cider's in there strong.
Cider.
It's a strong cider.
Okay.
Cider.
Definitely Christmassy.
Cider, Christmassy.
Really?
Yes.
Is that right?
This could be dangerous. You don't.
This is like.
There's quite a bit of bourbon in this, but you don't know.
It's like that warming kind of. There's lots of flavor. Did you know, like, evolutionarily, we developed the ability really to only eat.
Yeah.
To
people don't ever do that.
To deal with one or two flavors at a time. So like, you would. So like you would eat steak. Let's say you're gonna eat a piece of you're a caveman. You're gonna eat a piece of meat, right? You start digging into that thing. You can only get so much into your system. You might be able to eat more, but evolution taught us to only really deal with one flavor at a time. Then you start snapping two flavors in there, put a little salt or whatever, and then the palate kind of says, I can fit a little bit more of this in here. I can feel, and then obviously, the evolution of chefs and cooking and all that has made us. Basically been able to get fat. It's all about flavors. Once you start mixing flavors, that's where your satiety hormones shut off. So
and then he filmed
I would assume it's the same thing as this.
It's all about getting
one
fat.
Of your fat.
No, that was not intentional.
One of our I think the things that is most exciting about, you know, cocktail bartending that we do, it's not unlike a chef. Because there's sort of that.
Yeah, I've been catching that vibe.
History buff geekiness that you have to have because you have to pay attention to what's been done, evolutionary, and, you know, just you have to pay attention to gastronomy as the real science of tasting, and that's what's really exciting. You can be a bartender, but to be a cocktail bartender, you've really got to have kind of like that nerdiness part of you because you pay attention to a lot of taste comes from the nose, you know, and from smell, and then a lot of why you taste one thing might be because you manipulated the flavor of another thing, and you wouldn't taste this as much were it not for that. And so you figure out how to blend things, but the idea, the perfectly, you know, balanced cocktail shouldn't be too sweet, too sour, too bitter, too anything. It should be a really good balance. So that's where we kind of get together and geek out.
All right, so Nicole, are you done, or do you have any other drinks you'd like to share with us?
Oh,
she's got a set list.
I gotta use. Oh, you don't even know. My book is like, this is my Bible.
Anyways, that's the Christmas alcohol version of the Wait What If podcast. Check us out at www.waitwhatif.com. Check out Revival 1869 at revival1869.com. Say goodnight to Dave. Thanks for coming and showing us your talents.
Carlos
for backing up the bar, making sure no one's hurting anything. Nicole for your experimentations and that they were a success. Mike, as always, this is the famous Mike Stojic, who's been on the show since episode like 7 or something like that. We're almost on episode 100. Malia, thank you again for having us at your bar. It was fantastic. Nikki, thanks for coming. And John Taylor in the house.
Thank you.
We have some, John Taylor and I are working on a secret, super secret mission. We're going to not talk about that, but I'm just going to put that out there and make it interesting. Nope. All right. Thank you.
Like us on facebook.com/WWIPodcast and at WWIPodcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.